And so tonight I want to preach in your hearing on another passage that deals with prayer. And I have titled this message, and make sure you all take note of it because I'm changing the title, Be Thankful for the Benefits and Pleasures of Life. I believe, I don't know this to be true, I have not seen it in the Bible, but I believe that God is going to, people always talk about they're going to have questions for God. I'm not going to have any questions about anything. I'm going to be so glad I made it. I'm not asking, no. I'm not even asking for where my mansion is. I'm just going to stand in line and wait. I have no questions about nothing. I'm not concerned about what Cain got his wife or any of that. That's all God's business. But people always talk about that. Danielle in the back. Always talk about having questions. I believe, and I may be wrong, so Lord forgive me if I'm wrong, but I believe that God is going to ask some people, did you enjoy yourself? Did you enjoy the life I gave you? I really do believe that. I believe that God is going to ask people, did you enjoy the life I gave you? I don't know if that's going to be true, but I do know this. God gets glory and honor out of you enjoying the life he gave you. I know some of you have a hard time with this, but we've been reading in Genesis. And I noticed that after that harrowing journey that Noah had, with all the animals and his three sons and their wives and his wife, and sending out the raven, sending out the dove, waiting for everything to settle back down, everybody's dead, everybody's destroyed. I noticed that the first thing Noah did, he didn't plant corn. He didn't plant potatoes. He did not plant any collard greens. First thing he did was created a vineyard. And he was the first one to drink some of the wine. And we do have some people who look down on that and criticize Noah. But in one area, he should be criticized because he got drunk. And I guess Noah said this was a doozy, being in a... But I remember how to make that wine. He enjoyed himself too much. But do you enjoy? Listen to me. Let me just say this to you. Here's, I think, a mark of a person who is not saved. You hear me, and you hear me well. If you don't enjoy anything in life, if you don't enjoy serving the Lord, no matter how difficult it may be, if you don't enjoy the benefits and the pleasures, the blessings that he allows you, if you will, to legally do, lawfully do, if you don't enjoy any parts of your marriage, you don't enjoy the act of marriage, you don't enjoy the blessings that God has bestowed upon you, a great meal, food to eat, special foods that you just love. I can't eat much in way of desserts. One of the things I love that I can eat, but I shouldn't eat too much of them, are cashews, some roasted, unsalted cashews. And then I put a little Bragg on it. So if you're a health person, you know what Bragg is. If you're into health. If you're not into health, I can't tell you, I can't explain to you what Bragg is. It's better than salt, let me put it that way. It won't raise your blood pressure like salt will. And I just love it. In fact, tonight after I preach, I'm going to have some cashews. Now, there are many other things I enjoy, but I can't eat them. I can't eat them like I used to. But do you enjoy something? Do you enjoy the benefits and the pleasures of life? I believe some of you preachers, you ought to go on the advice of Paul and drink your glass of wine with your meal every now and then. I'm telling you, some of you won't be thinking about committing suicide. Some of you are too uptight. Some of you are taking so many drugs. The drugs to put you to sleep, drugs to wake you up, drugs to get it up so that you can do something with your wife and all this. You don't need all that, man. Drink your glass of wine, just one glass of wine, two or three nights a week with your meal like the Europeans do. And you'll be amazed. And I'm talking about not no sugary wine. I'm not talking about that, man. Get yourself a kosher Cabernet. A cab. Just say cab. I need a kosher cab. Some of you preachers, you're too afraid to go get it yourself. You're phony. You're a hypocrite. Send your wife in there. They don't know your wife that much. Get you a kosher cab. A Jewish cab. You'll be amazed how healthy it is for you. And you won't be taking any blood pressure medicine either. If you do it in moderation, it's good. See, God does not mind your enjoying your life that He gave you. He wants you to enjoy. I think He's offended if you don't enjoy your life that He gave you. I believe He's offended. It's a waste of... To him, it's a waste of life, man. I've given you all of these things to enjoy, and you all uptight and believe some lies and so forth. John the Baptist came not eating or drinking, Jesus said. And then he was not talking about water. But here I am. I'm eating and drinking. And they call me a wine bibber and a glutton. They called John the Baptist a demon. He had a demon because he was out in the wilderness, not bothering anybody, but just preaching the word of God. They went out to hear him preach. He didn't go in town looking for them. They went looking for him, and they said he had a demon. But Herod feared him. Herod knew what was going on, and I mentioned this last night. I'm going to say it again tonight. In another way, I believe with all of my heart, is if John the Baptist, the last prophet, the greatest prophet of all time, the GOAT, walked up to First Baptist Church, Second Baptist Church, Galilean Baptist Church, Mount Nebo Baptist Church, Missionary Baptist Church, any of them, and tried to get in, they would arrest him. They would arrest John the Baptist. And I can hear him hollering, I'm the original Baptist. I am John the Baptist. Let me go. But mister, you're not dressed appropriately for our church. What is that you have there? That is a kind of knife kind of thing. And I use that to cut my grasshoppers up so I can eat it. Well, you might be a terrorist, Mr. John the Baptist. Mr. Baptist. They would arrest John just like they did back in the day. The church would arrest him. So let me leave that alone. So that's the title, folks. Thank God. Be thankful to God for the benefits and the pleasures of life. Part 1, Praying Through the Bible, 380. Number 380. Let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Yes, we're still in Timothy. I know some of you all are glad I'm not preaching that other series. Receiving God's, be thankful to God for the benefits and the pleasures of life. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verses 1 through 5. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy, and your grace. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word, and for all of the millions and manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for what you've done in the past, what you are doing right now, and what you will do in the future. And we individually, each and every one of us who is willing, we confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who've sinned against us. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us all who are saved. And fill us, Lord, with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit. Demonstrate the power of your Holy Ghost in and through our lives, for we have nothing to say, we have nothing to do without you. For it is, we are reminded from your Holy Word that it is not by might nor by power, that is human strength, human ingenuity, human ideas and methods means nothing without the power of your Holy Ghost. And that's what's wrong with us in the church today. We're doing a whole lot of stuff with no power and no unction, no anointing, forgetting that we cannot function without unction from on high. So, Lord, once again, demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For, Lord, we have no reason to live. We have no reason to be on earth as saved, born-again people if we're not here to lift up Jesus Christ and tell others about him and to glorify your holy and wonderful name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Lord, bless all other prayer meetings and Bible studies across this country and around the globe as you've blessed this one down through the years. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight, Dr. Charles Spurgeon said, prayer is the natural duty of a creature to its creator. The simplest homage that humans, or that a human need, the simplest homage that human need can pay to divine liberality. One of Chuck Swindoll's, we don't hear too much about him today, but God has used him to preach the word throughout the past 40, 50 years, all around the world, God has used him. He has a unique gift. One of Chuck Swindoll's favorite stories comes from a man who used to be in his church. When he was a youth worker many years ago in an ethnic community, he was working at a new church. Being a rather forward-looking and creative young man, he decided he would show the youth group a missionary film. Good, clean, simple missionary film. We're talking a simple, safe, black and white, religious-oriented movie. That film projector hadn't been off an hour before a group of the leaders in the church called him in and asked him about what he had done. They looked at him like he committed a crime. They asked, "Did you show the young people a film?" And they looked at him as only evangelical, fundamental, orthodox, Bible-believing, hell is hot, heaven is sweet Christians can look at you when they think you have committed heresy or you have done something very evil. Nobody can look at you like an evangelical when you have, in their minds, when you have done wrong in their minds. It's a painful, disgusting look. In all honesty, he responded, "Well, yeah, I did. Well, we don't like that," they replied. And don't let them get together. Don't let them get together. Don't let them get a little group of evangelicals, stern evangelicals looking at you. All you need is four. Wow. Without trying to be argumentative, the youth minister, the youth worker, reasoned, well, I remember that at the last missionary conference, as do all evangelical churches, our church showed slides. They showed slides of the missionary trip. It's done all over America. One of the church officers put his hand up. Don't let them do that to you. They really getting to lay the boom down on you when they put the hand up. Signaling him to cease talking. Don't go any further. Then in these words, he emphatically explained the conflict. Slides are steel. If it's steel, fine. If it moves, sin. He said, what? You can show slides, son. But when they start moving, you're getting into sin. And what's so funny about this, I know that this is true. I know this is true. I met these Pharisees throughout my past 40 years. No. It may sound silly to us, but many Christians have propagated rules that are just as silly in their attempts to be more holy than what God described. I recall a pastor, I'm not going to call his name, he's still living. He preached that if you had a television set in your house, a one-eyed devil in your house, you and your family, y'all going to hell. Oh, yes, he meant it. You're going to hell if you have that one-eyed devil, that one-eyed monster in your house. You're going to hell. You and your family are going to hell. Pastor Mac, do you really believe that people go to hell if they have a television set? That's right. I said it. I believe it. And that settles it. And then a year later, Pastor Mac was on television himself. And so we met up at a Hardee's, I think it was, in Albany, Georgia. We met halfway, kind of. And I said, well, I heard you on television now. I said, do you have a television yourself to watch, you know, make sure your show is coming on and all that in the house? Well, yes, I went ahead and bought one because, you know, I have to make sure my show is coming off right and so forth. But never, are you going to hell? And I said it just like that youth pastor. I was not being argumentative. You can't do that with him. And I was younger and all of that. So I didn't go off. So you don't believe that people are going to hell anymore if they have a one-eyed monster in the house, a devil, television in the house. Yeah, I still believe it. But what if the people watching you on television? That's why you're on television, right? Well, you know, I said it. I believe it. And that settled it back then. And so it's amazing how people say things like that and then they change. Beloved, in our last mini-series, well, it really wasn't a mini-series, which we wrapped up last week, we looked at how we can make America great again by making America godly again. And that is still true. Through the work of prayer, through the power of prayer, through the peace of prayer. And by the way, this upcoming year, if the Lord tarries, is coming and we live, is going to be the most tumultuous and divisive year probably in American history since the Civil War. So what you need to do is pray. And then you need to read the Word of God. You can join us. We're reading the Word of God 3 chapters a day using the 5-day plan, but we do it 7 days a week. I would encourage you to get your mind on Jesus, get your mind on God by reading His Word every day. For so many of us are not doing it. Now, beloved, as we continue looking at Paul's instructions to Timothy in the same book, we see a warning against false teachers who speak lies in the church and who teach things that are not true. Let's look at, if you will, some background information and introductory information surrounding this passage as stated through Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Zuck, editors of the Bible Knowledge Commentary. The false teachers plaguing the church at Ephesus were the forerunners of the Gnostics of the second century. Even at this relatively incipient stage, the strong dualism of Gnostics is clear. Spirit is good, matter automatically evil. They believed all appetites relating to the body that God gave us are therefore evil and should be rooted out, including normal desires for sex and food. This is one of the reasons why you had a big movement towards people going out into the monasteries and so forth. They were basically, many of them, trying to kill those things because they made people feel so unclean and nasty, like sex. And by the way, sad to say, we still have issues going on with that today. I know of a great pastor. I'm not going to call his name, but I'm just going to call him Dr. P. His name started with a P. He's dead and gone now. Had a beautiful wife. And he was a masterful preacher, one of those pulpiteers, like you think of Spurgeon. He just had it down. And God used him mightily. But after something happened where there was a movement afoot in the church, in the conservative church in America, where women got a hold of some kind of idea that after they had their children, the bedroom was shut down. No more sex. That's unclean. It's wicked. No more. All my babies are here. My children are here. We have no need for me to be trying to have sex with you, sir, anymore. I'm closed. And her name is in my mind right now. She was one of the leaders of that little movement. I don't know where she got that. She must have got that from hell somewhere. But she believed that. And it really messed with him. Because men have to have it. He was probably still in his 40s when she did that. He said, "No, I don't buy that. I don't agree with that." And she said, "Well, you're going to have to agree with it because I'm not coming into the bedroom for that anymore." In fact, we can have our own separate bedrooms from now on. The children are here. We've done what God has told us to do, and that is to be fruitful and multiply. That's it. I'm closed. She shut him down. Made him feel like he was filthy and nasty. Look at you. What you doing? What you want to do that for? I'm not having any more children. That time is over. I don't know where that came from, other than the devil and hell, but we got people like that today. There are women today who are Calvinators, refrigerators, cold as ice, leaving men out in the cold to die, their husbands, to die under the weight of temptation, to die under the weight of sexual harassment because he says something nice because he needs a woman to satisfy that God-given need. Let me quit. Oh, yes. We got people like that today. Thus, the false teachers forbid people to marry. Okay, now this attack on marriage was not designed to keep people from how should I say this? It wasn't to keep people from just being together as a married couple, but in their minds to stop all this sex going on. Don't even get married for that. And order them to abstain from certain foods. We still have a lot of that going on today. Oh, yes. Now, let me just help you a little bit now. I believe that it is better for most of us, particularly people 40 and over, 45 and over, to start eating more vegetables. But please understand, the Impossible Burger, almost meat, what is it? Super meat? What is it? Say it again. Unreal meat? Beyond meat and all that right there? And veggie burgers? You read all the health books now. You might as well just get your hamburger. Because a real hamburger, some real beef. Because you just imagine what people got to do to make that, what do you call it, Instaburger, what do you call it again? What is it called? Say it again. I can't hear you. Beyond meat. To make it taste like beef. And I've had several people to tell me, I've read as well, that you're not really helping yourself, thinking that you're a vegetarian now or a vegan now by eating Beyond Meat, Impossible Burger, and all of that, and veggie burgers, the veggie burgers you find in the store. Now, it might be a good thing to get started with, but when these people say eating vegetables, they're talking about just eating vegetables, man. So, you will be better off eating meat every now and then, just don't eat a whole lot of it. But Paul went to the heart of the dualistic era by stating that matter is not inherently evil. See, false teachers can go too far the other way. like Pastor P's wife. She caused him to commit adultery. You can say what you want. Some of you women say, she didn't cause him to commit adultery. She shut down on him. And hey, that's up to him whether he... No, no, you don't understand. You just don't understand, woman. That man's got to have it. So you say, well, you ought not to say that in the pulpit, Reverend White. That man, I don't know what you got to have, but that man got to have it. He got to have it. And especially preachers got to have it. You say, oh, yeah, that's so nasty. You call it what you want. God gave it as a benefit and a blessing. And if you would join in, it'd be a benefit and a blessing to you as well. So Paul went to the heart of the dualistic era by stating that matter is not inherently evil. It is rather part of what God created. And that God wants you to enjoy. I am a firm believer, my dear friends, that people are dying. People have died having lived only 5% of their lives that God wanted them to enjoy. So I'm not rich like Mr. Bloomberg. No, enjoy what you got. Enjoy what you have, man. Enjoy what you can enjoy. I'm reminded of a song from a black country singer. He said, I got my woman. I think he said, I got a great meal. And I got a bottle of wine. I'm happy. I'm content. It's the simple things of life, my dear friend, that God wants you to enjoy and be thankful. Is there a meal that you enjoy so much you thank God even twice for it? I've had meals that I thanked the Lord for it before I ate. I thanked the Lord for it while I was eating. It was so good. And I thanked the Lord afterwards. Sometimes an hour or two after, Lord, thank you for that great meal. I don't understand. What? Why you don't have that going on sometimes in your life? Why are you not happy about anything? You married to somebody, y'all work hard, you buy a big house, and you living on Pork Chop Hill, and got his and her Mercedes. You can't enjoy no Mercedes, man. You got to have sex. There's got to be some hot sex going on for you to enjoy that house, man, and then have the wonderful feeling of relief. And release, and then you go into the Mercedes, and then you feel nice and whole. Ain't nobody gonna say amen, but I'll say amen myself. Amen, preacher, you preaching? No, see, oh man, this can't be just working your behind off to a big house with a tax bill that's $10,000 a year. And you got all this furniture in here that you're paying for, and you ain't laying on it, and enjoying the pleasure of it. No, the couch ain't what's going to do it for you. And some of y'all got all kind of animals running around your house. That's not going to get it. You got to have a man. You got to have a woman. What are you talking about? And have some food to eat. And here's what I lovingly suggest. Now, I believe that most of us need to go more veggie. More veggie, yeah. More veggie. But once or twice a week, you and your wife or whatever family you got in the house, you need to get some real meat. You can get some good, healthy meat. Listen to me, over the holidays, On Thanksgiving, I normally get prime rib, which I just love. Meat that melts in your mouth. Organic, grass-fed prime rib. I was in a hurry and a rush and so forth. And at one point, the money was kind of low. You got to pay some money for the prime rib. Then my oldest son sent me some money, and I could have got the prime rib, but I preached too long, and the store that I normally get the prime rib from was closed. My daughters came down and picked me up for Thanksgiving. On Thanksgiving, they came to our house on Thanksgiving, but it was, I needed to have some beef. And that particular store was closed. And the only store that was really open at that time was Walmart. I said, well, let me walk in here. Lo and behold, I went in there and got some grass-fed roast. There were no bones, but it was falling off the bone. Do you hear me? It melted in my mouth. Grass-fed beef. A roast. It wasn't prime rib, but it was close. I enjoyed it. Every now and then, man, get yourself a roast. And that's right, I said it. And I know some of my Southern Baptists and my Independent Baptists hate me for saying it. Every now and then, in moderation. And by the way, let me just say a couple of things. Nobody really needs two glasses of wine. You trying to get drunk. Okay? Nobody. I don't care. Well, I weigh 340 pounds, so, you know, two glasses of wine won't affect me like that. You don't need two glasses of wine. One glass of wine with your meal will do. Now, if you got a history in your family of a bunch of drunkards, some of you white folks, and y'all get crazy and wild, talk out your head like the white brother singer the other day, forget his name. He's half black, but he's from Detroit. What's his name? Somebody tell me his name. He just got drunk and just went off on Oprah. What's his name? I want to say T something. You got it? Who? Who? Kid Rock. Got drunk in his own bar, I was told, I think, and just went off on Oprah, just out the blue. And he had a legitimate complaint, as far as I'm concerned, but yet that's not what you do. I wish somebody would ask me if they want me to go on the show or whatever. How much do you love somebody? Are you kidding me? I don't love nobody like that. What are you talking about? And so he went off. See, that's what drunk people do. When you get drunk, you go off and you say stupid stuff that you have no business saying. And some of y'all don't need to drink a drop of alcohol. You don't even need to put some alcohol on your face. You need to be like Trump and don't you drink one thing. We're not talking to you. You're out of control. Fooled around, they found out he lost his restaurant business because of what he said about Oprah. Now, you're the kind of person, you always aiming to get drunk. Do like Don Trump and say, no, I'm not, there's something wrong up inside of me. I got to get to the point where I'm drunk. I've got to get crazy. We're not talking to you. We're talking to people who understand moderation, who like doing things in moderation, and who are under control. They have self-control by the grace of God. Now, the Bible says in the Old Testament, it does make the heart glad. So you're going to get your glad heart. But no, God does not want you to be drunk. He wants you to do it in moderation. And it's been proven over and over again, in moderation is healthy. One glass, two or three times a week. That's it. And maybe once a week. Or, better, do it with your wife only on during celebrations, pardon me. Thanksgiving, Christmas, birthdays, Valentine. That's it. That's what most smart people do. Wine and the fatted calf and beef and all kinds of meats are not for every day. They never have been in the history of the world. They are only there for weddings and special occasions. You enjoy these delicacies. But enjoy them. Enjoy the life that God has given to you. He wants you to do it. In fact, He gets pleasure out of you enjoying the pleasures that He's provided for you. So many people are dying having not lived. We're not talking about sin, people. Some of you single people, yeah, preacher, I hear you talking. Yeah, you're talking real good to me, preacher. You're single and you know, we're not talking to you. Now, let me just say this real quick. Some of you people who are single, you're single for a reason. And if you can control yourself and stay out of people's beds, you need to stay single because you were not made to get married. There's something you. Some people need to stay single if you can control yourself and be celibate because you know you're cantankerous or you're mean and you don't really want to serve anybody. You don't want to help anybody. You don't really want to be intimate with anybody. You enjoy yourself too much and you're too selfish or whatever the case might be. But there are some people who got married and they should not have gotten married. I thought I'd just give you that free. But most people need to get married because they cannot contain themselves. I will be honest with you. The main reason why I got married is because I did not want to sin against God in that area. That's the main reason why I got married. That's number one. So, preacher, that's not romantic. Whatever you call it, it's going to be romantic, but isn't it? Maybe not in your sense of romance. That's why I didn't marry you. Because you can have a wonderful time without everything all being candlelit and going to an expensive restaurant and putting on nice clothes. You can have a wonderful time without doing that. Grab a sub sandwich and go ahead and do what you got to do. I'm serious about this, people. There are people who have not lived. They have not enjoyed their lives, all uptight about everything because of false teachers throughout their lives. Hence, those who believe and who know the truth can gratefully receive and use the things God created. Not to abuse, not to overdo it, but in moderation, with self-control, enjoy them. You ought to have, listen to me very carefully, dear friends, you ought to have something you enjoy to do every evening before you go to bed. There are people who work their behinds off, come home, fuss, fight, maybe eat a little something, and slam in the bed. Why? For what? To do it all over again. They don't enjoy it. Listen to me. You don't have a book that you're reading? You don't like Netflix? You Christians know you like Netflix. See, that's one of the reasons why some of y'all are not ready to go on up a little higher. There's a list of things that you like so much. Number one is Netflix. Or Prime. Amazon Prime. You don't fool me. Do you love your wife? Do you love your husband? Do you like to recline and sit back and talk to them? Do you like to read to your children, your little children, before they go to bed? Do you like listening to a podcast? I mean, what, man? Enjoy your life. Work hard. Pray hard. Think hard. Serve God hard, but enjoy the life that God is giving you. That's the reason why I believe so many pastors, especially my white brothers, are dying like flies because they're so uptight. They need to come down, relax, come apart, Jesus said. And somebody said, lest you come apart. And that's what's happening. That's why we got preachers committing suicide. That's why we got preachers who you thought had a great marriage are shot to hell, and divorces and so forth, and people quitting. You're too wound up because you heard something way back yonder that's just not true. So let me close for tonight. These things were designed to be received and used. Some of you husbands, I feel sorry for you. Your wife wants to serve you deep down in her heart. She's wired to do that. She wants to help you. She wants to take care of your needs deep down. She's not going to do it herself. She's not going to make it happen. She's not wired to do it that way. A woman has to be turned on. You already turned on. You already a fire, an eel, a lightning rod. You all that, man. You sitting over there all frustrated and mad and sad because she ain't making a move. If she made a move, that would turn you off. Hold on, what you doing? I don't like no aggressive woman like that. No. See, you don't want her to do that. She's not going to do that. She's not going to do it, sir. She's not wired to do that. She is wired to, let me say it another way. I was getting ready to say something else. She's wired to respond to you. And I don't care if you're 60 years old. Y'all ought to be getting together 2 or 3 times a week without any pills. That's why you lusting your heart out, sir. That's why you got your head covered looking at pornography, because you're not doing what God bless you to do it with. Somebody to do it with. Do it and thank God for it. Be grateful for the benefits and the pleasures and the blessings of life. And I'm going to cut it off at that point. I have so much more to share with you. By the grace of God, I'll share more with you on next time. But until then, get you some cheesecake, if you can stand it, and enjoy it. You can't have it every day. There are things now that I can only have once or twice a year. And some of you who are in my age bracket, you're the same way. But at least have it once or twice a year. And enjoy. And stop worrying about it. I'm afraid it'll take my blood pressure up. I'm afraid that it will take my sugar up too high. And so forth. Listen. You know what people did before they found out about diabetes? They just ate. And it was time to die, they died. Okay? Yeah, but I mean, your body, God tells you if you're going too far. Your body will tell you you're going too far. You got a doctor on the inside of you. So enjoy your life that God gave you. One day you will die and you will not have a chance to enjoy it. We're not talking about overdoing it. And I know this shakes up and rattles and my dear evangelical, conservative, independent, Bible-believing Baptists. It just messes with them. Brother, why are you not uptight like me? Because I'm not going to do that. And being honest about it and being real about it is better than you're lying about it. Some of you Christians, some of you preachers, y'all drink wine, but you lie about it. You got some Patron stashed away in your drawer. But you lie about it. You people ask you, Pastor, what do you think about this? Well, no, I don't think that's good for you to do. You ought not to drink anything, so forth and so on. It's just so many dangers and so forth. And you got a bottle at the house yourself. You're a liar and you're a hypocrite and you're a phony. Because you're too uptight. Calm down. Everything will be all right. Confess your sins, repent, pray, read the Bible. Think, do, work hard, but you got to come down sometime. You got to unwind. And God has provided those things for you. Do them, enjoy them, and thank God for them. Let's all stand for a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I personally thank you, and I thank you for those who thank you in their hearts, Lord, for the benefits, really the millions and manifold benefits and blessings that you have bestowed upon us down through the years. Lord, I praise you and I thank you for marriage. And Lord, you have shown us that even if a marriage is not 100% perfect and wonderful and great, you can still enjoy it and appreciate it and be thankful for the benefits of it. And there are many benefits. And Holy Father God, thank you for all of the thousands of meals, Lord, that you blessed us with down through the years, from beans to rice to chicken to steak to prime rib to turkey to fish to salmon, all of the good stuff. Cheese, real cheese from H-E-B. And all of the good food. Thank you, Lord, for the healthy wines that are out there that people can partake of if they do it in moderation. Thank you, Lord, for the pleasures and the blessings, the privileges, the opportunities, the benefits, Lord, of the life that you gave us for us to enjoy. And Lord, we heard from Brother Rick Warren that you enjoy us enjoying the life you gave us. I don't understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll set some people free from the bondage they have put themselves. They're sad, they're despondent, they're defeated, they're lonely. And Lord, I pray that you'll help them to confess their sins and to repent of the sin of not enjoying the life you gave them. And we also pray tonight, Lord, for those who don't know you as Savior. We pray that you would they would come to know you as Savior so that they can truly enjoy the life that you gave them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand that you are a sinner, just as I am, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have done evil. We all have done wrong. We all have failed God. We all have crossed the line. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." When we violate God's word and we sin against God through lying, through stealing, through lust, through adultery, through homosexuality, and we never repent, never trust Christ as Savior, these individuals will go to hell. In fact, thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and I'm sharing this with you because I want you to know that the meek and lowly loving Christ preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. And I believe that Jesus Christ preached more on hell than most preachers living today. And Jesus Christ said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place, and hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you tonight. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world, who died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again, said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered, bled, and died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, and then call on his name. Pray and ask him to save you, and he will save you. Here is God's promise for you. Romans 10:9. I want you to hear this. I want you to get this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Pray and ask him to save you. I'll be glad to lead you in what is called the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have lied before. I've broken your Ten Commandments by stealing, by coveting and lusting after people and things. I have dishonored and disobeyed my parents. I have taken your holy name in vain, even with cursing. Have mercy and grace upon my wretched soul. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who took away the sin of the world, including mine, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. I receive your free gift of salvation into my heart. Holy Father God, help me to repent of my sin. Fill me with your Holy Spirit to do so. And help me to turn from my evil life by following you in the new life Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is my prayer.